Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
And everybody, a normal human being has 60 to 80,000 negative thoughts in a day. Good 80% of the negative. And question comes up, how come we get negative thoughts? It's evolutionary. Okay, when we used to live in jungles, we used to pay attention to negative thoughts because otherwise we'll be a bear or lion's lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And that part of our evolution is still there. So if you want to be happy, you got to take a look at those negative thoughts. And sometimes those negative thoughts is not really you.
You might find yourself asking right about now, well, who exactly put those negative thoughts inside my head then? A very reasonable question. Listen and all shall be revealed. Hey, this is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. That was Vinod Gupta, and we are going to talk about happiness. He will share his story about retiring and finding himself a few weeks after being retired, realizing that he had everything he wanted and needed, the house, the car, the happy family, the money. But he wasn't quite fulfilled, was something missing there. So he went on a search and he is going to share with us, what does it take to be happy? What are the parts? What is the makeup of happiness in a sense? So Vinod's going to share with us what he learned, some tools, perspectives, and simple things we can do to support ourselves in being happy. And we know happiness is a huge part of our physical, mental well-being. And it's something that we struggle with in our culture. I know I've seen many statistics about happiness in countries and what countries are happiest. And we in the U.S. are not up there. So we can clearly use a little guidance. Fun fact, Vinod has a master's of science in paper chemistry, among other degrees. But that is one I didn't know existed, or if I did, I don't remember it in the moment. It makes perfect sense. I mean, think of all the types of paper we have and all the uses that we do with them and the different types of uses and functions that they have to have. So I thought that was very interesting. Thought I'd share. Before we dive into the interview, I just want to send out a thank you and appreciation to all of you who shared the podcast on Facebook and forward your emails and however else you share the information or the podcast and the episodes. I really do appreciate that. That is so great. And it's how my network grows and it's how I will be able to continue doing the podcast is by getting it out to more people. First of all, it helps people get the information. And that is like the number one goal is having people find those pieces that help support their health and wellness and lead to a happier and more fulfilling life. And I've gotten some great feedback from people who have been on the podcast that they have been contacted by people overseas and around the country, finding them through the podcast and working with them. So that is super exciting. And I love that. That's what we're doing here. So that's so exciting. And I love to hear from you guys, the listeners too. Feedback is great. Join the conversation on Facebook. It's not just about listening. It's about sharing in the community too. And you are welcome to do that. Thank you also for those of you who stop by wellnessrenpodcast.com and go through the support the podcast link before you head on to your Amazon shopping trip. Thank you supporting that way. And also for all of you who are part of the Patreon crew, that means so much. It's inspiring. It's encouraging. And I really appreciate it. In whatever way you feel inspired and are able to support really does have meaning and value. So thank you so much. All right, let's get into it. What are we going to do? We're going to talk about happiness.
Yes, we are going to talk about happiness.
Yes, yeah. And how to help ourselves be happy. We can all use a little more happiness. Please introduce yourself and tell us about you.
Well, my name is Vinod Gupta. I was born in India. And I came to this country in 1970 and went to graduate school in Wisconsin. And then I ran out of money and I had to go work. And on the way to work, I obtained my master's in business. So I worked for pulp and paper industry until 2005, where I took early retirement, sat home for about 3 weeks. I couldn't take it, so I had to do something. And I managed my own financial portfolio for more than 30 years. So I thought if I could do that, I can manage anybody's portfolio. So I started working with the UBS. And after 3 years, UBS laid me off, and then I started working with Ameriprise Financial. And I've been with them for the last 9 years.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm a financial planner and a financial advisor. And after I left SAPI, my last job with SAPI was director of pulp mill research. So when I left, I had pretty much everything I wanted. I had a nice house, nice car, enough money that I wouldn't have to worry about retirement. Okay, two wonderful kids. But there was a little bit of emptiness. So I started to address that if I had to live my life at that moment, how could I do it differently so it's more fulfilling? And one day I was thinking, so you're not the only person at that age. There are thousands of them. Why don't you go talk to them, see what they do? Now, I belong to a health club, and sauna is a good place to talk to people because they got nothing to hide.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I start talking to people. I say, hey, you know, what do you do? You just retired 2 years ago. What do you do? A good chunk of them couldn't even remember what they did yesterday. So make the story short, after talking to a whole bunch of people, I came to a conclusion. The people who live a good life are two types. One is they have their children and grandchildren within 10 to 15 miles. They spend a lot of time with the grandchildren. Other is who still work, but they work part-time. They do it for fun, okay, and have a lot of hobbies. So those are the kind of people who feel good. So I said, I don't have a lot of hobbies myself. So I start reading a lot of books. I must have read about 100 books and listened to a lot of TED Talks. So one day I was sitting there. I said, why don't you put a presentation together? That would be fun. So I start putting a presentation on not only happiness, but some other topics. And I love to hike. I had done Everest Base Camp, and I did Machu Picchu and Annapurna, another peak. And I start putting a presentation together on my hikes, on happiness, on success, balance in life, and time management. After doing that, if you read a book, there are three types of people who write those books. Number one is people who are salespeople. Number two, somebody who went through a trauma. Okay, they lost their legs, they got burned, all those people. And the third type are academics. They study something, they write a book. But I'm really not anyone particularly of those people, you know. I'm an ordinary Joe, and all those, it's just like six blind men looking at the elephant. Everybody describes it, and they are right. But that doesn't describe an elephant. Okay, that describes a piece of it. My conclusion, after reading all these books, the happiness is a matter of expectations. Everybody has expectations. And if you get in life which is more than your expectations, you feel good about it. You feel happy. The issue with that scenario is that expectations change with life. As we get older, you know, expectations keep changing. Okay, you meet one need, higher need takes place. The second is expectations can be unrealistic. And some people do have unrealistic aspirations, and they are unhappy forever. Okay, so that's the first piece, that happiness is relative to expectations. The second piece is that unhappiness has to do with negative thoughts. And everybody, a normal human being, has 60 to 80,000 negative thoughts in a day. Good 80% of the negative. And question comes up, how come we get negative thoughts? It's evolutionary. Okay, when we used to live in jungles, we used to pay attention to negative thoughts because otherwise we'll be a bear or lion's lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And that part of our evolution is still there. So if you want to be happy, you've got to take a look at those negative thoughts. And sometimes those negative thoughts is not really you. It's just like you go to a movie house and a projector projects, okay, light on a screen, and that has the power to make you cry or make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind does the same thing on your brain. Those negative thoughts, and sometimes you have positive thoughts also,
mm-hmm.
has the capability of making you feel whatever those thoughts happen to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really you. Okay, that's just temporary. But some people take that granted that that's you, and they feel unhappy. Okay, so what do you do about that? One is that you calm your mind down, see if you can lower that chatter in your head to a lower degree, therefore reducing the number of thoughts. Even if the percentage of negative thoughts stays the same, you feel happier. The second is reduce the number of negative thoughts. How do you do that? Gratitude. You take those negative thoughts, okay, and convert them into positive thoughts through gratitude. The most important thing I find as I not only read and I practice, and now I am sharing, gratitude is a very powerful thing. The issue with gratitude is our culture. See, our culture is, I want bigger toys. Okay, I want more money. I want a bigger job. I want a bigger office. I want windows looking at the lake from my office. All those are more, more, more. But we never take time to say, gee whiz, I'm glad I'm alive. Okay, I'm glad I got an office. I'm glad I got a job. I'm glad I got a house. I got a car. Or I got a wife and children. So that's not a part of our culture. Eastern countries, gratitude is a huge part of their culture. But getting more and more is not. So we need to meld those two so that we are happy.
Well, I'm thinking, actually, I heard the story when I was living in India. One of the people that we were traveling with, she was talking about visiting, and I cannot for life remember which country it was. It was a very poor third world type country, right? And she was visiting with this family who had next to nothing, but they were all very happy people, and they got talking about that. And they were asking them, you don't have very much, but you guys are really happy. Like, kind of, what's that about? And wouldn't you be happy? Because I think there was also an opportunity to potentially either go to the U.S. or gain some of what we have to offer. And she said, they said flat out, we don't want that. Because if we start living in that world, all we see is unhappy Americans. Every American here comes through and they want more, and they're working harder to get more all the time. And we have great relationship with our family. No, we don't have all these things you guys have, but we have connection and we don't feel like we're lacking. We know there's a lot more out there, but we also know if we bring that in, we'll start getting into the same loop you guys are getting into, and we don't want that. And so it was an interesting, she was, you know, talking about how they thought it was just this very interesting thing where they were making a very conscious decision to say no, thank you, and being really happy in their space of having good family, good food, you know, but not all the plentifulness that we have, and saying that that's okay.
Now, up to a certain point, the money helps happiness.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I am, yeah. Yes, I agree.
It meets your basic needs.
Right.
I think somebody did a research on it that between 60 to 80,000 per year, the happiness goes up to, after that, more money doesn't make any difference.
Right.
Actually, sometimes it actually reduces your happiness. And that's a separate topic, is once you get to that, why do you want to make more money? And at one time, I struggled with that question. Good for 6 to 8 months. Okay, why should I make more money? And then I realized, yeah, I have the answer. if you spend the money after that limit on yourself, it doesn't make you any happier. But if you start giving and helping other people, mm-hmm. it makes you happier. Yes. So money has a role in play.
Right.
As long as you know how to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you
right.
spend it on yourself or you spend it on other people.
Right.
And I think if you start spending a piece of it on other people as compared to spending everything on yourself, it'll help your happiness substantially.
Right. There was somebody that posted something on Facebook of saying, do you think money brings in happiness? And my, because many people are saying, oh no, money has nothing to do with happiness. And I'm thinking, you know, no, I think it really, it, like you say, it alleviates a lot of things. If I'm able to take care of my healthcare needs the way I mm-hmm. want to without having to stress about that, the stress of that is gone, and the excitement of having enough and to share and to, you know, hey friend, yeah, I want to go do this thing, do you want to go do this thing with you, and be able to just take them mm-hmm. and just go do is so much fun. And I, when I was a kid, when I discovered there was a I watched this philanthropist on TV, and I was just like, that's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to do that mm-hmm. because it is that joy. And I think we watch in media where there are the people who kind of, like you say, how much do you need? And they keep, it's more, more, more. We see the more, more, more. And you don't necessarily see that person being happy. And so it creates this kind of confusion in our brain. But we understand the more piece, if that makes sense. We kind of have this idea.
Not only understand it, we practice it all right. the time. And everything around us kind of pushes you in that. So after a while, if you live in that atmosphere, you forget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all you see because everybody's talking about it.
Yeah. And all our companies are trying to build mm-hmm. that, get 10 more percent this year than we got last year. And if we don't, there's that sense of failure.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't make sense. You can't have 100% of the market share in most cases. And you end up with stressed out people.
Yeah, it's illegal anyway.
Right.
If you have more than 30% of market share, somebody's going to knock on your door. They say, hey, a monopoly, can't have it.
Right. Okay, so happiness. I love your definition or drawing out the descriptors of that. So how do we, you know, wherever we're at, what can we do, what actively can we do to help ourselves find our happiness? In
great question. The first thing you do is carve some minutes out of your schedule to think about what good things you have in your life and what bad things you don't have in your life. So one time asking a question, I said, tell me 25 good things since you got up this morning you are grateful for. People said, 25 things? There's no way. I said, well, let's see. You got up. You're not dead. You're in good health. You ate breakfast. It was not contaminated. The air in Minnesota at least is nice. You had a bed to sleep on. You had sheets. You're not sleeping on a sidewalk. Okay? You came here. Nobody hit you. Okay? You didn't hit anybody. You didn't run out of gas.
Right.
Car ran, okay, it didn't fail. Those are all the positive things happening. Let's take a look at what are the negative things that didn't happen to you. You don't have cancer. We are in good health. A whole bunch of negative things can happen to you, okay? Somebody didn't die last night in your family. Negative thing can happen. You didn't lose your job. Get an email saying you're fired. So all those negative things didn't happen to you. So there are a lot of good things and not bad things you can be grateful for. But we don't do that. The second piece is repetition. Repetition is really important. Particularly older you are, more repetition, because you have to negate umpteen years of living in it. Generally, people say, I don't have the time. I understand that. Life is busy for everybody. But what you want to do is the day you don't have time, take 1 minute. Repetition is the key. It's not the time.
Mm.
Okay? Park your car 2 minutes away from your office and use those 2 minutes for gratefulness. But you got to do it every day. Okay? For example, it's sort of a crude example. If you eat okay, and drink water, you got to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You can't say, I'll postpone it for 1 month. Okay, I'll get back to it in 1 month. It doesn't work that way. Okay, therefore, to be happy, you got to do gratitude, and you got to do it every day. Okay, one day it may take 1 minute, another day on a weekend, you got more time, do 20 minutes. But repetition is the key.
You can do it while you're in the bathroom.
Yeah, sometimes it's difficult to do that. Yes, you can.
Just saying, if you're already there.
But really, if you don't have a lot of time, the women, you know, put makeup on or do their hair in front of the mirror, you can do really gratefulness right there. And the guys do a similar thing, you know. They're shaving and something instead of, you know, thinking about work. Get your mind out of there. Take 2-3 minutes. And you'll be surprised how impactful that is, that if you do gratefulness, okay, before coming to work, you'll be happier. Now, there's some side benefits to all that. First of all, if it is important to people, happy people are great lovers. Okay? People want to work with happy people. Happy people get promoted faster. Happy people have good health. They live longer. They spend less money on healthcare needs. So the whole bunch of benefits. Happy people generally tend to be more creative, because that motivation time, instead of spending on negative thoughts, they're spending on positive thoughts, and sometimes it extends into more creativity. So there's a lot of side benefits.
We good side effects. We need more positive side effects to the things that we're doing. And I like what you're saying in the whole thinking about that sort of the time that we're walking or that we're going somewhere, like you say, putting on makeup or doing your hair. Because I know, and I think of gratitude journals. Many people start with gratitude journals, which I think is a fine thing. But what I also hear is how many people forget then to do the gratitude journal because you're doing an action, which, again, I think it's a fine thing. But I kind of like what you're saying in the make it that with another thing that you do that you're always going to do, because it's not another thing you have to do.
It's attached to it.
It's right. It's you don't have to think about getting out the journal. You just, I'm doing my makeup, or I'm doing my whatever, I'm shaving. Okay, well, I can, now's my time to do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, the key thing is make it a part of your routine. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can do it a separate activity connected with, if you do exercise in the morning, just after this exercise, do gratitude. So make it a part of the routine, and after a month or so, you won't even notice that you're doing it, right, because it just happens. So number one, that's the key thing. Now, if you're doing gratitude only, life is boring, because things don't change. Mm-hmm. You don't get cancer every day. Your car doesn't break down every day. You don't change houses every day. So you got to go after what you want in life. That's what adds spice to life. But you need to do both. One by itself is not enough. Okay, so you got to be grateful that you got what you have, and then go after for what you want.
Talk a little bit more about that.
You want to run a marathon? Go practice. You want to be a millionaire? Go practice. You want a bigger house? Go for it. Okay? You want more toys? Go for it. Okay? You want to help somebody? Go for it. So those are the kind of, well, we're all different. It's not one single thing,
right,
which people want. You want a promotion? Go for it. Okay, yeah. Go
but
for it.
Consciously know consciously, what you're doing.
Yeah, consciously
you're
go for
after.
It. Yeah, consciously go for it. Because that's what motivates people. That's what lights fire under people. And that is also part of happiness. Okay, I give an example, a sort of silly example. I said, I have 2 children. And I was there when they were born. And sometimes I wonder why a woman would go through all that. Okay. Rationally, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. The first one, I understand that happens, you know. Second one, no. Third one, no. People have 6, 8, 16. Why? Right. Okay, that's the third part of it. It attaches meaning to life. So when you strive for what you want, it adds meaning to life. Okay, and that's what makes people happy. because they are going after what is meaningful to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because going after things which have no meaning doesn't make you happy.
Right.
So whatever you go after, you got to attach meaning to it. So striving for what you want and it is meaningful makes you happy.
Right, because you have that purpose and that reason to strive and that focus.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's really happiness. It's pretty simple. So it's not light or esoteric stuff. It is doing it. And it's not difficult to do either. But it's a continuous, constant repetition. And I can sit here and tell you it's going to make a difference in 1 week. It doesn't. Really. But after 3 months or so, you start to make a difference. And sometimes you don't know the difference. Because it's gradual. But somebody who saw you every 3 months, they said, man, you're different. What's different? Yes. Yeah. So they can tell the difference, but not you, because it's so slow that you don't know anything is changing. But right. It is.
Right. Till somebody points it out, and then you might start to recognize it a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
And talking about, you mentioned something about writing a journal.
Mm-hmm.
What I find is that if you write a journal, hopefully every day, and let's face it, you know, life has its ups and downs. So today you're feeling good, tomorrow you may not feel as good. So the day you don't feel as good, you pick up at that journal and start reading it or browsing through it, it'll pick you up.
Mm.
Because it is what you did, it's not somebody else.
Right.
Okay, and you know how you felt. So you associate how you felt with the words you're reading as you wrote them down. And that picks you up.
Right. And like you said, it's yours. It came from your...
It's your baby.
Being, right. Yeah. And you can put yourself back there.
That's right. So the question comes in, how do you motivate people
yes,
to do this?
That is a big question.
That's a very big question.
Yes.
How do you motivate people to do that? Okay. A couple of ways you can help yourself. One is buddy system. Do as a group. Okay, makes it a little easier. And attach a meaning to it makes it a little easier. Because if there's no meaning, it's very, very difficult to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, it's very, very difficult to do that. Don't expect huge things. Okay? Just have some faith that if you did it for 3 months, you're going to see the difference. And you'll be able to do it as compared to thinking that after 1 week it's going to be all fantastic. That's not very practical.
Yeah, I think about that in working out and exercising or changing food habits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all want instant success. And some people can get that really quickly. They feel the first, you know, they feel some really quick shifts from doing something, and then there's that plateau. And getting through the plateau time
mm-hmm.
for people. And that's where the having the meaning and, like you say, being patient and knowing, keep going. You know you're doing something good for yourself. Give yourself 3 months, because then you will have a time period to actually base something on.
Actually, weight reduction industry does the disfavor to a whole bunch of people when they say, well, you can lose 50 pounds in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you may be able to do that, but you gain it right back. Because there's no way the body gets used to a new way of food. So people tell you, oh, in 1 week you're going to be all happy. No, it takes time.
Yeah.
It truly takes time.
Especially if you want it to keep it.
If you want it to be sustaining.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Learning a new way to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And once you start feeling that in your bones, you will never let it go. Okay, it's a very, very good feeling. But you got to get there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a marathon runner, you know. You got to get used to running a certain amount of distance before you start to get runner's high.
Mm-hmm.
Before that's a pain. Really, truly
right?
is
mm-hmm.
painful. But once you get there, then runner's high kicks in. And then you never quit running. Because you like that runner's high.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is with happiness, particularly the kind of things like meditation to calm your mind down.
Mm-hmm.
Up to a certain level of meditation, you know, it's a pain, it's boring. But once you get there, then the meditation high kicks in, and then you'll never let it go.
So talk about meditation a little bit. People do meditation in varying ways. Mm-hmm. I know I was told by somebody once, she said, you're not an empty your mind meditator, you're a tea drinker and look out the window meditator. And that resonated so much with me, because then that's when my mind could let go. And then that's when creativity will come in, you know? But talk about, give people some ideas of meditating, maybe even that start small, or ideas, just so people might have some ideas of what they might try if the meditation thing is kind of new for them.
Yeah. See, the purpose of meditation is exactly reduce the chatter in your head. There are more than one way of doing it. One is you can do transcendental meditation. Okay, take a deep breath, hold it, then let it go, and keep doing that. And your breath would calm down, your heart rate would come down. It has a lot of physical benefits. So that's one way of doing that. Other way of doing that is count backwards. Okay, start with 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 1. Do it 10 times. And if you lose your concentration, you got to start over. Okay, prayer is a good way to calm your mind down. Okay, spiritual singing is another way to calm your mind down. Walking in the woods alone so that nobody is chattering at you. Okay, and look at the nature. Sitting on a beach by yourself, look at the leaves fluttering in the air. Or in summer, look at the clouds come and go by. All those things help you. See, the question is this: how much effort you put in an activity, how much time does it take before it starts to impact, you start getting results? Mm-hmm. Once the results come in, how long the results stay if you quit doing it? All those factors have to play because everybody is so busy. Mm-hmm. In my experience, I found out that deep breathing meditation is very time effective, takes less time and very effective, and you can see the results pretty fast. Well, they would depend upon individual. Mm-hmm. It's not the same for everybody.
And when you're saying that, you're saying inhale, hold, and exhale.
That's right.
And do you have a count that you do for...
Yeah, the count increases as you get used to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of equal. So start with four, stay, hold for four, like
four,
over four.
4, 8, 8, then you can go 4, 10, 10. You know, you keep increasing them, you get used to it.
Okay.
And sometimes as you release stress, your body feels different when you do meditation. Okay, because we hold stress differently, all of us. Okay, some people hold stress in their neck, okay, other people in their shoulders. Some people, it impacts their digestive system. When people say you're a pain in the butt, you're telling me more about how I'm holding your stress, okay, that I'm holding my stress in my tummy.
Uh-huh.
So when you let stress go, all of a sudden you may feel different. You may feel ants crawling, okay, yeah. Mm. You may feel a little twitch. And all of a sudden you say, my shoulder used to be tight, now it's not tight anymore. So you got to acknowledge that can happen. And then after 2-3 weeks it goes away because you're relaxing and you get used to it.
Your muscles are relaxing and they're going, wait, what is this? How do we function with this now?
It's a different feeling. So one can try different things and then see what they like it. Other meditation, which is a little difficult to do, being in the present.
Mm.
Okay. Now, that sounds hocus pocus, but I rephrase that a little bit. See, most of the worry or unhappiness either comes through thinking about the past. You should have done this, or you should have had that, but you never had it to begin with, or the future, worrying about the future. The more time you spend in the present, the less time you have to worry about the future and regret about the past. So you have to take a deep breath and take a look at whatever you're doing. If you're eating, slow down. Enjoy your eating. See how it tastes. If you're reading, slow down and say, what is the book saying to me? So you've got to train, it truly is a training, yourself to live in the moment. And people say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Yes, because the more time you spend in the present, the less time you have to, you do is available to you. Worrying about it, of the future, and also regret of the past. So that's another way. It takes a long time. Long time.
Be very mindful in the present.
Some people talk about kindness meditation. And I find that's very slow working. That's just my experience. You know, other people may have a different experience.
Talk about what that is.
Kindness meditation is simply that all the people around you, people you like or people you don't like, think about kind things for them. And I read this routine. Suppose I want to do a meditation. I'll say, I wish Judy to be safe. I wish Judy to have an easy life. I wish Judy to be happy. I wish Judy to be healthy. I wish Judy to be wealthy. I wish Judy to have enough motivation to do whatever she wants to do. And you can do that, people around you. You can even do that, people you don't like. And sometimes you say, how's that going to help me to doing that for somebody I don't like? The key point is when you do that, your body, your mind gets used to thinking about the positive things. And that's what makes the difference. Mm. If you can do that for people you don't like, it's very powerful. Okay? But it's tough to get used to it.
I know I've certainly heard I've heard of that before, but I haven't heard of it quite like that. That's really cool. And like you say, especially the focusing on the people that you don't like and retraining
your brain. It takes time.
You talked a little bit about the piece of doing being a huge part, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, motivating ourselves can be a challenge. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear more, if you have more, on maybe the motivational piece, but also in, like you're saying, finding that passion, that thing that you're excited about. I think that we have people who are in this country, in this world, you know, we kind of go through life doing what we're supposed to do because we are trying to figure out how to survive, pay the bills, do all of those basic things. I know I've heard people say, I don't have time to figure out what I want to do or what my passion is, because I think it's that slight feeling of despair that maybe we've bought into, but not looking at how to apply that simply in our life. If we, you know, for people who maybe they have a job that they maybe don't love, or it's just not the thing that motivates them, and they don't know what else to go for, or they don't feel like they have time, but because of maybe where they're at. And you've kind of touched on this with the gratitude of being grateful for the things that are in your space that are great and wonderful. But maybe talk a little bit more about, if you can, about just how do we get kind of from that maybe place of slightly feeling despair or feeling like, you know, because it's not about going to school or getting a new vocation, but finding that passion and helping that passion, helping us hone in on that to bring us forward and help us rise into our happiness or find our
happiness. See, everybody has a passion. That's a given. Okay, the question is, are you living close to your passion? I'll give you an example. One day I asked a student I was giving talk to, I said, who in your life is miserable? You know, this 12-year-old boy raises his hand. He said, my mother is miserable. Every time she talks about how miserable she is. So I asked him a simple question. How come she doesn't find another job? She pays the bills. I said, in that case, she already decided what's more important to her. The money is more important than happiness. Okay? Mm-hmm. Money is more important than happiness. That's fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Because you want to be successful in life, but you also want to be happy in life. A lot of people do either and or. Okay? You go to India like you were talking about, and those people are happy. Okay? They think they are successful, but according to what measure? Mm-hmm. We may think that they are not successful. They may think they're successful. Well, you need to do both. You need to apply yourself to be as successful as you can be, and you need to be doing things to make yourself happy. Yeah. So it's not for life well and fully lived, you need to do both.
And I think you touched on something that's important too, is what does success mean to us?
It means different things to different people.
And might you suggest sometimes that examining what that really means, like I think sometimes, again, you were talking about, there's that, making more money, there's this idea that is success. And so for some people that is success, but is it really success? If they were able to back up...
Yes, it is.
You know.
Yes, it is. I believe, make as much money as you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the question of making money. See, that's not the question. It's the question of what do you do with it.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, some people say, well, I got plenty of money. You know, what do I need money for?
Right.
And I said, make more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And blows people's mind. This guy's crazy. You know, I got enough money. I don't want to make more money. I said, no, that's not the point. Point is what you're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Start giving it away and you see what makes a difference.
Right.
Okay, so... people say making money is success. Sure, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of other things in life you can be successful at.
Well, and I'm thinking of people who have focused on that to a point that it's almost a sickness. It's almost I have to make more, and it's not necessarily about what they're doing with it, but it's about gathering.
Gathering. So that's not the question for happiness.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. See, gather won't get you there. It is gather and how to spend it.
Right. And the joy of when I think of the people who have more money than they need, and they do share it, and they you know, especially when they can give it, help somebody else do something that makes their passion come true, and how much that lights them up to just be able to be a part of that. Yeah.
And that's also evolutionary in nature. Human beings survived as compared to everybody perished. Because they help each other. We are a social animal.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of us. But the key thing is that we don't know how to go ask people for help.
Mm, that's true.
Okay, really.
Enough research has been done
that if you ask people properly, more than 80% of the people, because some people are having a bad day, so they said, willingly help you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, willingly help you. So it's built into our DNA.
Well, it's fun. It's fun to help somebody.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And you feel proud. It feels good.
Right.
It feels good.
Yeah.
Helping someone feels good.
Yeah, exactly. When I think of people who say, when I retired, I finally got to do what I wanted to do because I could volunteer or I wasn't so focused on the day-to-day stuff that I actually really got to help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know I hear that from past presidents, you know, Jimmy Carter and I think Bill Clinton and various other people who have said, once I got done, that's when I really got to be powerful, you know. And I've heard other people when they retired say the same thing, that it just freed them up. And how can we bring more of that into our lives earlier?
Start doing a little bit at a time.
Right. And finding those passions and giving in those ways.
So question comes, how do you know what your passion is?
Yes.
It's really simple. Ask yourself. Because you know what your passion is, I don't. So what you're going to do is ask yourself, what is my passion? The answer may not be coming the first day or the second day or the third day. Maybe 100th day, you would know what your passion is.
Mm-hmm.
You got to ask the question. If you don't ask the question, the answer isn't coming.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Other thing is, when people say, you know, strive for what you want, how do you go about doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you look in the mirror, most of us do in the morning, tell that person you're looking at in the mirror, what can I do today is better than yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
And that's striving for what you want. It's really that simple. Every day. What can I do today which is better than yesterday? And it'll help you, it'll truly help you get closer to what you're striving for.
Right.
There's no guarantees in life. Okay. But the probability that you'll make it is a lot higher if you do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're kind of always on the lookout to do the next good thing.
So once you do it long enough, as they say, Lady Luck, okay, waits for the people. So you see opportunities before you didn't see them. Truly, yeah. You get your whole body, your whole being gets looking for opportunities.
Right. Right. It's a different way to approach the world, right? And approach your day. Yeah. So you're approaching the world with sort of, for many of us, perhaps new eyes, right? Because you're not looking for like you say, you have all these negative thoughts, which beget negative thoughts. And if you're on that sort of outlook of what can I do, what are the good things, and what can I do, and how can I be a part of that? It's a different outlook.
Particularly if you do that sort of a thing 3 to 5 years before you retire. Then when you retire, you already have the answer, and you're geared up to live a life in retirement, which is fulfilling.
Yeah. What a great retirement. What a great opportunity for life. Again, finding that beforehand is a very good idea, but it is a neat opportunity.
Some people wait until they retire, and then that's too late to find out.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm thinking as we were talking, and because I hear that too of when I retire. And to thinking of, but what can we bring to ourselves before? Because I used to work for the United States government, and it was a place that pretty much everybody was miserable. And to the point that many people could tell you the amount of months, and days until they retired. Whenever we went to a retirement party, people would literally be talking about how many years, months, and days they had to be left. And I was young when I worked there, and I thought, I don't want to spend my life here. I don't want to be in this soup of sadness.
That's right.
Because it was just, you know, it's like nobody is finding joy. I mean, they found their little pockets of joy. I think that's how they survived, and their friends. But there was just this blanket of misery through everybody. And I just, this was my like first real job. And this is not what I wanted to be. And I'm so glad I got out, because that made me sad, you know. The idea that work is always negative and work is always where you don't want to be. And, you know, so the idea that I wanted to find a way to have work be, yes, work is work, but it's also life and it's fun and you want to be there. Mm-hmm. And I myself have had some jobs that the job wasn't so much fun, but I loved going to work because I loved my people and I loved my team and I loved working together. And what a gift I learned. I mean, I think having those two very dichotomous experiences made me appreciate my good work team so much better, because you want to be there and you want to help them and you can go to work and have joy.
Yeah, see, the concept of the language fails us. We use the word, I'm unhappy, or I'm happy. Everybody is unhappy, and everybody is happy. It's just a matter of a degree. There's a curve. As you become more happy, you climb on that curve. But on a short-term basis, something bad happens. From that average level of happiness, you become unhappy, and something good happens. So when so-and-so is unhappy, the language fails us. Everybody is unhappy. It's a matter of degree. Okay, and there is no nirvana, as they call it, the super, super happiness. That concept doesn't exist in modern life. Yeah. So when we talk about happiness, we're talking about how can you increase your average happiness. Okay, there's a second part of that, is what is your variation from day to day? As you increase your level of happiness, the average level, your variation also goes down.
Okay, so you find more happiness and you have less super highs and super lows.
That's right, yeah.
But you have this more consistent.
That's right, yeah. I mean, the highs and lows become smaller and smaller as you increase your average level of happiness.
Okay, got it.
So when somebody says, I'm unhappy compared to what? Or I'm happy today compared to what?
I think of when you're saying that, I think of a friend of mine who had a toddler at the time. And I don't remember what happened to the kid, but it was, you know, it was like, it was something in our lives fairly small, right? You know, their cookie got taken away kind of thing, you know? And and I just remember the dad's, because the kid just screamed. And the dad was like, oh my gosh, you're acting like this is the worst thing that's ever happened to you in life. And I said, but this kind of probably is the worst thing that's ever happened in life, you know? This is compared to everything, that's pretty bad, you know? And it was just an interesting thought to think about that how, you know, over life and our experiences. But it made me think about that particular thing when, you know... Yeah, when that is the worst thing that's happened in your life, that's pretty bad. You know? You don't have anything else to rationalize. Well, I got my cookie taken away, but compared to this, it's okay. Well, no, that's all you got, you know? That's just interesting. All right, so we've talked about kind of some tools to get there.
Yeah.
And I think you've given some good takeaways, too, things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
For kind of that finding the purpose, and do you have any other thoughts of like a, you know, I know it's asking the question, any other tools that somebody can sit down with and just really kind of hone in? Because I know some people are kind of struggling with what is my purpose? What am I passionate about? And those are kind of two different questions maybe, but... And I think asking the question is absolutely a
initial start. The question.
Okay. Right.
And don't expect immediate answers, because sometimes it takes time. To give you an idea, sometimes people die without knowing.
Mm-hmm.
It takes that long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And some people, right away, they know that, what your passion is. So it depends. It varies from people to people. But if it takes longer for somebody... There's nothing unusual about that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just
key thing is asking the question to yourself and do it on a regular routine basis.
Mm-hmm.
Only other thing I can add to it, we have a tendency to sort of make other people responsible or blame other people for our happiness. That's really not true. We are responsible for our happiness. If you look at it that way, you have a whole bunch of control on your happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course, bad things happen on a statistical basis to all of us. I have yet to find somebody who didn't have adversity in their life. Everybody does. It's just different. Okay, but as life becomes more and more comfortable, the amount of that adversity becomes less and less. So if you think positive about your life, and we all have positive experiences... then it starts to have an impact on your life.
Share a little bit more about how to reach you and what you might offer people. You do talks. You talk on this subject, give this talk to groups.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us again the other topics of your talks.
Yeah, see, I have a PowerPoint presentation, of course, on happiness, okay, success, time management, balance in life, and I have done some really neat hikes, and I have PowerPoint presentation on those.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're open to connecting with people if they want you to come talk to their group, school?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a small fee for for-profit organizations. For generally non-profit organizations, I do it for no charge.
Okay. Very nice.
And you can connect with me on my email, which is Vinod, V-I-N-O-D, .Gupta, G-U-P like paper, T like Tom, and A, at the first letter of media, then com, then high, then speed, then internet.com.
So for the public speaking, this is the way to connect with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Now, since I work full-time, I want to preface that. Don't expect that if you send me an email or something that you're going to get an answer right away.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
Okay. All right. So give you a little time to get there.
Yeah.
All right.
Perfect.
Well, yeah, this is great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. It's, you know, this is we're all on this journey trying to figure it out, right? And finding those pieces that resonate with us or that we feel like we can master, or how to integrate these things into our life is a big deal, you know? Some people are much faster than others, and sometimes it's just finding that thing that clicks and boom, and you're ready for it, and it all just makes some sense. So,
well, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
I appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed the conversation. If you want to get in touch with Vinod, I will have his email address in the show notes. So if you go to wellnessrenpodcast.com, click on the episode and the notes will come up for you, and it will be near the bottom. So check it out. Vinod talks about attaching a meaning. And I know in some of my classes, we talk about knowing your why in what you're doing. And I think it's something that it can be really easy to forget. Like, we have this idea about why we're doing something, and it helps us sort of make the right next move that's in line with what we're doing. And then life happens, we get busy, we get in the moment, and depending on what it is that you're going for, a lot of the people that I'm working with are looking at improving their physical health or losing a little bit of weight or that kind of thing. And you get caught up in the now Twinkie moment that sits before you rather than the long term. What decisions am I making, and what does that look like long term? Nothing positive or negative necessarily happens within one decision, but it's those consistent decisions over time. And I absolutely know that for myself. And it's, how can we keep that attached meaning in front of us when we're on our path? So that's a Judy note, not of a no note, just so we're clear. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you again for all of you who support by sharing or all other means. So appreciated. And if you're not on the email list, definitely get on the email list. Go to wellnessrenpodcast.com, and all you have to do is put your name and your email in there. We'll shoot an email out to you each week, lets you know what the episode is, puts a link right to it. You can just click on that link and hit play, and you're off and running. So we do not sell the emails. It doesn't go to anybody else. It's all just right here. So if you are somebody on the list, or you think you got on the list but you're not getting something, definitely check your spam folder, but also feel free to contact. Let me know via email or through Facebook or whatever that you're not getting them, because I'd love to make sure that they're in your hands. Take good care. Have a great week. May you continue to find the pieces that fit well and wonderfully into your health and wellness puzzle. Till next time.